Okay, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last few classes we tested the important part about soul. So what happens to soul when a man dies? So the Bible says that the man when he dies, the soul also dies. So this one we have clearly understood from the scriptures, and after that one we saw what is the meaning of soul in the Bible. And some other misconceptions also we saw. Once when a man dies, his soul goes here and there, and all those things. So is it true or is it false? Can the dead rise and come back to their home? What of the ghost stories and all those things we saw from the Bible? So apart from that one, so till now we have covered so many parts. But now a very important part we are going to see is that what the Bible says about so many you see what do you say stories or so many narrations given in the Bible that tend to show that the soul doesn't die, and which seems to be contradicting of what all we have studied till now. So it is our responsibility at this time to go through all those scripture evidences which give us an idea that soul doesn't die. So how many incidents are there if you see in the Bible, dear brother? There are nearly seven such incidents in the Bible which give us the idea that soul doesn't die. So it's our responsibility to go through all these parts one by one. We are going to see one by one about this conception. And the first one is given to us in 1 Samuel 28 chapter. So 1 Samuel 28 chapter, if you can open the Bibles just to see what actually happened in 1 Samuel 28 chapter. If you see 1 Samuel 28 chapter, here King Saul goes to meet a witch, you see, and to contact the dead Samuel. Why was it necessary that King Saul should contact dead Samuel? See, if you see, the Philistines came for a war upon Israel, and you see, the King Saul was totally confused what to do, because seeing that huge army of the Philistines, he trembled a lot and he feared losing the battle. So he did not know what to do. That's the reason he went and contacted a witch. So let us read 1 Samuel 28 chapter verse 4 and 5 brother. 1 Samuel 28 chapter verse 4 and 5. Brother Santosh or Brother Ashish can read.
I will read, brother. Brother Santosh cannot really see it,
Okay,
so I will
brother.
read.
Okay.
And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gibeah. And when Saul saw the best of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled.
Thank you, brother. So, seeing that Philistines army, Saul was totally afraid. He did not know what to do. Usually, whenever there is a war in Israel, the kings of Israel used to do one common thing. That is, they contact God and see whether they will win in this victory or not. So, here also, King Saul actually tried to contact God to see what would happen. But as Saul was totally, you see, rejected by God, God did not answer him in any of these ways. Read verse 6 further. 1 Samuel 28, 6 further.
And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets.
See, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor Urim, nor Thurim, or by the prophets. So when the Lord did not answer him in any of the way, you see, King Saul had no other option, because by that time, you see, the prophet Samuel was already dead. So the prophet Samuel was already dead, and when he was a good king, he had actually removed all these wicked people who have contact with a familiar spirit, the evil spirit. Read verse 3, brother. Huh?
First Samuel 23. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land.
Okay. So God had rejected, King Saul. So, and that is the reason that Samuel did not meet him until he was dead. And by this time, what had happened, if you see, Samuel the prophet was already dead. Now, we know what had actually happened in the life of King Saul. So, he was disobedient to God in two times. One was that when Samuel told him to wait, King Saul did not wait for the Lord. But instead of that one, he offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and hence he was rejected as a king. You see? So that was the first incident. And the second incident is given to us in 1 Samuel 15 chapter, verse 22 and verse 23. Okay? So there you see, God had commanded King Saul to slaughter all the Amalekites. But unfortunately, as God commanded, King Saul did not obey completely God's words. Hence, he was rejected to be a king. So then what happened, if you see, God took away the Holy Spirit, you see, from King Saul, and a wicked spirit came and bothered him. Read 1 Samuel 16:14. Peter, brother, can you read? Is it possible for you to read? Brother Peter?
Okay.
How are you, brother? You're doing good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank
After
you.
After so many days, nice to see you.
Thank you. Same here.
Good, brother. Brother, can you read 1 Samuel 16:14, brother? Is it okay?
Okay.
Okay, please.
16:14.
Hmm.
Okay. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him.
See, a wicked spirit, a distressing spirit came and troubled him. So this itself is a clear proof that Saul was already rejected as a king. And we know that David was anointed in this meantime. So when God rejected him totally, when he had no other option to find out what would happen in the warfare, he went and contacted a witch who could speak to the dead and find out what would happen in the war. You see? And this was totally against God's will. Because when he was a good king, you see, when Saul was a good, he had actually killed all these, persons who have this familiar spirit and do this witchcraft and all those things. That was given in verse 3. But here, if you see, in verse 7, now he violates more of God's commands and goes to meet this witch. Read verse 7. 1 Samuel 28:7, brother. Huh?
Then said Saul into his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and injure of her. And this servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that had a familiar spirit at
Endor. Very good, brother. So this was totally against the law of the God also. When God gave the law to the Israel, Lord had clearly told that you should not have such women or such persons in the promised land. Read Deuteronomy 18 chapter 9 to 12. Ashish brother, can you read Deuteronomy 18 chapter 9 to 12?
Okay, brother. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not long to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son of his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter, a familiar spirit, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that would do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee.
Very good, brother. So because of these things, the Lord your God would drive them out before you. So why did not God retain these people in the land of Canaan? Was that the things what they did was displeasing to God. And read two more verses in Leviticus 19:31 and Leviticus 20 verse 6. Peter brother, can you read brother?
Okay. Regard not them that have familiar spirit, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. 20 chapter 6. And the soul that returned after such as have familiar spirit and after wizard to go worrying after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among these people.
They will cut him out from among the people. So God clearly told that you should not be doing all these things. But here if you see, King Saul violated God's commandments, you see, and went and contacted this witch. So when he went to the witch asked, okay, whom do you want me to bring from the dead? Whom do you want me to speak? Then Saul told, bring me back Samuel. Read verse 11, brother. 1 Samuel 28:11, brother.
Then said the woman, who shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel.
Bring me up Samuel. Now, she did some, jantar mantra and all. Immediately, you see, what happened? Some person was brought. And seeing this one, the king asked, oh, what are you seeing? Please tell me. What was the reply of that witch? Verse 13, brother.
Okay. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth.
Immediately she replied, I saw God ascending out of the earth. Then immediately Saul asked, you please tell me how is that person to look it? And then immediately she began to describe the person who is coming out. Read verse 14, brother. What did the witch say further?
And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man come up, and he is covered with a mantle and shawl. Perceived that it was Samuel, and he stopped with his face to the ground and bowed himself.
You see, now she asks, what was the reply she gave? She told, what is the form? Saul asked, she told, what did she tell? Did she tell that Samuel is coming up? No, she never mentioned that Samuel is coming up. What was the reply? She said, an old man cometh up. And he is covered with a mantle. You see, the old man is coming up, covered with a total, you see, mantle, a full dress. And immediately, Saul thought that it must be Samuel, because he was eagerly trying to meet and discuss with Samuel. So if some old person wearing the mantle, you see, was supposed to come up, immediately he thought, you see, he assumed, you see, suddenly that it must be none other than who? None other than Samuel the prophet. Okay, next, what happened? Next, read verse 15, brother.
And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?"
16.
Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me? Departed from thee, and is become thin in me."
Then said, what did Samuel reply? Samuel said, because Lord has become my enemy, I don't know what to do in the warfare. So I want to speak to dead Samuel and know what is going to happen in the war. That is the reason I was called you to speak to dead Samuel. Now, okay. Now, what was the conversation between this person who came, you see, the old person with a mantle, and between King Saul? Read verse 19, brother. 1 Samuel 28:19, brother.
Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Palestinians, and to Merrow shall thou they son with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Palestinians.
Okay, so and what did okay, 1 minute, brother. And what was the reply? You see, Samuel gave us that tomorrow Lord shall give you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Okay, that means tomorrow war is going to happen. You're going to lose the war. All of you are going to die. Even all your sons are also going to die. That's what this dead Samuel tells. But just think, if it is really the prophet Samuel is speaking, is he really the prophet Samuel who is speaking? If you see in the Bible, I don't want to read this verse, 1 Samuel 15:35, it says, Samuel never met King Saul and never spoke to King Saul. Why? Because the Lord had departed from King Saul. Imagine Saul and Samuel never spoke. Samuel never spoke to Saul, you see, when he was alive. Do you think he will come and speak after his death? I don't think so at all. And moreover, if this was the true Samuel who rose from the dead and spoke, whatever he told or whatever he prophesied, it should have completely been fulfilled. Was it fulfilled? Did it exactly happen as dead Samuel spoke? Let us see, what does the Bible say? Same way, war happened. Israel also lost the war. But not all the sons of Saul were dead. One son of Saul was alive. Read 1 Samuel 31:6, brother. 1 Samuel 31:6.
So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together.
See, Saul died, and three sons died, but not all of his son. One of his son was alive. His name is Ishbosheth, and he ruled for 2 years in Israel. Read 2 Samuel 2:10, brother.
Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to regain over Israel, and regained 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David.
See, he ruled for 2 years. 2 years he is ruled. That means he did not die immediately. Huh? You see, after many years only, who died? This Ishbosheth was dead. 2 Samuel 4:8 is given. No need to read. Okay. Just imagine, if it was truly God's prophecy, it should have been fulfilled 100 out of 100%. But was it fulfilled? No. Do we have any prophecy in the Bible which is partially fulfilled? No. All of the prophecies are exactly fulfilled 100 out of 100%, point to point, pin to pin. Not even a small mistake. Like, for example, the prophecy of Elijah concerning Jezebel. You see, she falsely accused Naboth and killed him. And Naboth was stoned to death at the, you see, gate of Jezreel. And what happened? The dogs came and licked the blood of Naboth. Elijah saw this one. What did he prophesy? He prophesied clearly saying the dogs are licking the blood of Naboth in exactly the same place. What will happen? You see, the dogs also shall lick thy blood. It exactly fulfilled point to point, dear brethren. Exactly, without any small minute chance also, it happened. Jezebel was thrown atop from the palace. She fell at the exact same place. And what happened? You see, the dog came and licked, you see, her blood. So it was fulfilled 100 out of 100%. This is God's prophecy. But here you see, this prophecy was not exactly fulfilled. You see, then what is the meaning of this one? Dear brethren, you see, this is a clear proof that this is not God speaking. Then who is speaking it? You see, then how can, the devil know about the future? Yes, of course, he can know about the true future. That is not a great thing. Like, for example, whenever a government comes to power, you see, the government makes a budget for the 5-year plan. You see, they will be staying for 5 years. And 5 years, they make a plan. You see, and they move according to the plan. You see, and majority, 90 to 90% is exactly fulfilled as per the budget. Now, when they are able to guess for another 5 years, why can't the devil guess for what is going to happen tomorrow? He can definitely guess, isn't it? Like, for example, can we guess what is going to happen in our life in tomorrow or day after tomorrow? Yes, we can definitely tell what is going to happen in tomorrow, day after tomorrow. You see, like, for example, I'll tell my, tomorrow's schedule. I'll tell you exactly. You see, tomorrow I'll wake up at 6:30, 7 o'clock. Then I'll clean my entire house. I'll prayer, we'll clean the entire prayer hall. Then we'll prepare the place for worship. Then all the brethren will come. We'll start, worshiping the Lord around 10 o'clock and finish by 12 o'clock. Then we'll have fellowship with the brethren till 1 o'clock. Then after 1 o'clock, I will have my lunch. So I'll finish my lunch around 1:30, 2 o'clock. Then I'll sit and study for a few hours. Then 4 o'clock, I have a class. I'll take the class from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Then again, we have one more class from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. After that one, again, one more class is there from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And from 9:30 to 10:30, I'll have my dinner. Then sit and study for a few hours and sleep at 12 o'clock in the midnight. Then again, wake up early in the morning around 7 o'clock and go to my job. See, this is our schedule. Now, whatever I told, do you think that this schedule will be fulfilled? Yes, almost 90% exactly it will happen. So small, minute here and there changes might happen. Okay, that might be for, 10%, 20%. Okay, just because we can guess what is going to happen in our life, do you think that we are going to be prophets? Do you think that it is God's words? No, dear brethren. See, we can guess something what is going to happen in future, even in our life to a certain extent. Then what about the devil? Can't he guess? Yes, he can guess. He clearly knew that God has withdrawn from King Saul. then what will happen if he goes to warfare? You see, no need to inquire with anyone. He himself knows. King Saul himself knows that he is going to lose the war. He just wanted to know whether God is going to save him or not. But you see, everybody knew that he is definitely going to die. There is no doubt about it. There is no need and there was no necessary that he should go and ask these things from whom? From which dear brethren? And brother, this is all okay. But how did the dead person come there? You see, you observe there, a dead person did not come. Eh? She told that a person is coming back from the earth. You see, she told gods are ascending from earth. Gods, where gods will come from earth? They're actually in heaven. They should be coming from heaven. Eh? First of all, she is a witch and she is telling lies. That some person is coming. Even though it is true, did King Saul saw Samuel? No, you see in the Bible, he never saw whom? Samuel. She gave the description. A old person wearing a mantle is coming from the earth. Hearing this one, he assumed that this must be none other than our prophet Samuel. You see, this was a clear proof that this is of the devil. Okay, even if a person comes also, even if he's visible for that witch, you see, this is not a great thing. Today, we have the technology of hologram. See, you can see here, that's hologram technology. A magnetic electronic device is worn in your hand. If you switch on the device, next to you, exactly same ditto, everything. What all you are having, the same features, the next to you on duplicate will stand. It will be ditto exact, but it's not a real, but it's just a hologram. This technology, we have it today. Even, you see, in the great football World Cup, they had the laser display in the sky. Naked sky, in a dark sky. You see, they showed beautiful, you see, motion picture. How did it do the picture? They began to beam the laser from the earth. You see, the lasers screened everything on the sky. Do you think that everything happened really in the sky? No. That was a virtual, you see, a laser show. Similarly, dear brethren, we have all these technologies with us today. But Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, who is the father of lies, he knows how to deceive, whom to deceive, when to deceive, and which way to deceive. So he exactly, dear brethren, you see, uses all this technology to deceive mankind. This is what he did with King Saul. Hence, dear brethren, this example can't be taken to prove that the dead don't die. The dead go to here and there and dead can come back to life. They can come and speak. They can come and visit. No, dear brethren, this is all the works of the devil. That's the reason God told you should not encourage any witchcraft, you see, in your nation. They should be totally, you see, thrown out. Therefore, dear brethren, so this is the first proof. This can be taken to prove that the soul doesn't die. While the Bible says, so many scriptures say that the soul clearly dies. Okay. Now, the last example is Prophet Moses and Elijah appearing to Jesus. So let us read Matthew 17, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Read with that, please.
Okay, Matthew chapter 17, 1, 2, 3. And after 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up onto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias
talking with him. Okay. Now, if the dead are not raised, if the dead are going to be raised only at the second coming of Jesus, now did Moses and Elijah come here? Correct. Now, if the soul dies, if no person are coming back alive till the second coming of Jesus, then how did Moses come back to life here? How did Elijah come back to life? And how did they speak with Jesus? Correct, huh? How? How did this happen? Now, what is the meaning of this one? We will see the answer from the Bible. For the Bible, Bible is the dictionary. If you have any questions, we need to search the answers from the Bible itself. Okay. Now, first of all, tell me, now how did the disciples recognize that this was Moses and this was Elijah? How did they recognize? Did they ever see the photo of Moses or Elijah? How did they recognize? Tell me. Tell me, Peter brother, Santosh brother, Vishnu brother.
Through scripture.
How? Through?
Scriptures.
But the scriptures was written later, no? See, all the scriptures, whatever is written, it is written after the death of Jesus. Not before Jesus. Not when they were alive. Not when actually this thing was taking place lively. How did they recognize? Try to attempt and give an answer. Huh? Santosh Buddha, Vishnu Buddha,
I
Peter Buddha.
Through preaching or someone tell through prophecy.
How? Correct. You are very near. Vishnu Buddha, any idea?
I'm thinking.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. I'll give everybody one clue. The answer is given in verse 3 itself. Read verse 3 and tell me. Peter Buddha, read verse 3. Let me see who is going to answer after reading this verse.
7.
17:3.
17:3. Just then. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus.
Now tell me, the answer is here only. How did they recognize that this was Moses and Elijah? Very easy answer. I'll tell you. Vishnu brother, any idea?
Not a...
Okay. See, very simple. What does the verse say? Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him, talking with Jesus. So they both were talking with Jesus. Now was they talking? Moses would have addressed, "Oh Lord, how are you, Lord?" And Jesus would have replied, "Oh Moses, how are you?" Isn't it? And he would have addressed Moses saying, "Moses, you would have seen Elijah and said, oh Elijah, you would have called them by names." That is the meaning of talking, conversation. The way they talk to each other, the disciples understood that this is Moses, this is Elijah. So it was by conversation. Anyway, okay, now let us come to the point. Now, point is that if the dead rise not, then how did Moses and Elijah appear? Tell me. How did Moses and Elijah appear? What is this one? Okay. The answer is given to us in verse 9 itself. Read verse 9, brother.
Yes, and as they come down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man."
Tell the
vision.
Vision. Vision means what? Is it a real thing? No, that is not a real thing. Vision is a vision. I also saw vision, brother. Oh, yo, in my vision, I saw Abraham. I have seen Moses in my vision. You see, in my vision, I have seen Jonathan. I have seen David. I have seen King Saul. I have seen Samson also. You see, I have seen Jesus also in my vision. Which is the vision? What is that vision? Huh? Television. What vision? Television. In television, we can see, no? Huh? If you play 10 commandments, we'll see Moses. If you put a Samson picture, I can see Samson. Is it real? No, this is all, you see, not real, Devadan. This is television, technology vision. In those days, there was no technology. Only vision was there. This is all vision. This is all not real, brother. You see, so similarly, what apostles saw here was a vision. That was not a real Elijah or Moses appearing to them. No, is there any such visions in the Bible? Yes. We have studied the vision about Daniel 2nd chapter, 7th chapter. You all remember? Remember, see, king saw a vision. A multi-metallic structure, head of gold, arms of silver, which is stomach and thigh of brass, the legs of iron, feet of clay and iron. You see, this is what real. This is a vision. Same dream came to Daniel. It was a vision. So many visions are there in the book of Zechariah, Ezekiel. Lot of visions are there. You see, similarly, here what Jesus showed to the disciples was a vision. Okay. Now, what is the meaning of this vision? You see, Moses represents the Old Testament prophets. And Elijah represents the church. You see? So, here actually, Jesus was giving them the picture of the kingdom. So, what exactly would happen when Jesus would rule on this earth? When Jesus is going to return at the second coming, when Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years, what will be the condition of this earth? Who will rule on this earth? That's what he showed them on the vision. On the left hand was Moses, on the right hand was Elijah. So Moses in the Bible represents the house of servants. Hebrews, you see, 3rd chapter, 1 to 6. You see? And in the Old Testament also, you see, so many references are there. You see, that represents the Old Testament faithful warriors. Huh? And Elijah, who does Elijah represent? Elijah represents the church. How? You see, lot of similarities between Elijah. Elijah, he wanted to convert the people to God. Similarly, what is the church doing? They're all bringing the people to God. Tell him to convert their hearts. You see, not conversion physically. You see, conversion of the hearts to worship the one true God. But who opposed? Elijah. Elijah was opposed by Jezebel and Ahab. Today, who are oppositions to this preaching the word of God? So Elijah ran away. He ran away afraid. He was hiding somewhere. Secretly, he was alive. You see, who gave them the food? Crow. God did not leave him alone. Ultimately, who won? Elijah won. So similarly, the church is secretly working its work. Ultimately, who will win? You see, God's true church will win. That is the picture of his God's kingdom. Anyway, we will be studying all these things in the coming days also. But this is a clear proof that this is a vision, this is not a direct incident that happened. Okay. Let us come to the third point. Okay. The third point is the thief on the cross. Let us read Luke 23rd chapter, 43rd verse.
And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, the day to they shall thou be with me in paradise.
See, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. So everybody thinks that the thief on the cross died the very day and his soul was taken to heaven. So you also repent. Even if you repent today, you will go to heaven. You shall be saved. Okay. Now, what did Jesus say to the thief here? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today itself you will be with me in paradise. Okay. Now Jesus did he go to paradise the same day? Did Jesus go to the paradise the same day? No. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. He was resurrected on the third day. If he himself did not go to the paradise the same day, how can he make a false promise to the thief that you shall be with me in paradise today? How can he go today? Correct now. Read Acts 10:40.
Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly.
See, God raised Jesus on the third day. So how can he go to heaven? Okay, first point. The second point, many think that the thief asked forgiveness to Jesus. Where is it given? The thief asked forgiveness to Jesus. No, he did not ask forgiveness. So many people misuse this one and tell, even if you repent today, even if you ask forgiveness today, even if you surrender to Jesus today, you shall be saved. Did he ask forgiveness? Is it so easy to go to heaven? That at the very dying moment, you repent and go to heaven? Dear brethren, if that is the case, at the last dying moment, we can go to heaven, then why should we study the Bible? Let us leave all the Bible, leave everything. We will come to know when we are going to die. At least 1 minute, 1 second before. At that moment, Lord, please forgive. We can ask him. Immediately, we'll take us to heaven. No, thief is gone to heaven. We are not so worse as a thief now. If we can remember at last moment, we'll also go to heaven now. Then why all these things are required? Why so many epistles are written to the churches? Why did Apostle Paul say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Dear brethren, because this is not the way to go to heaven. This is not the way to go to kingdom of God. How should we go to kingdom of God? Read Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22.
Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of the God.
See? Through much tribulation we should enter into the kingdom of God, not just light or wrongly, superly, simply. Bed of roses. Believe in Jesus, automatically a seat is reserved for you in heaven. No, where does the Bible say? What does it say? Through much tribulation you should enter the kingdom of God. It's not so easy that you can just like the tongue go to heaven. Okay. Next point. Now, did the thief ask forgiveness? What did the thief ask? Now, what did Jesus reply? You should study that one. No? Read verse 42. What did the thief ask? Read verse 42, brother.
And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom.
What did the thief ask for that? Did he ask forgiveness of sins? Did he ask, Lord, please take me to thy heaven? Did he ask? Did he ask for forgiveness of his all his sins? Did he ask for his forgiveness for all the theft he has done? All the murder he has done? You see? Did he ask for forgiveness for all the sins he has done? No, not even one confession. No confession at all. But what did he ask? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Correct, no? Now, first of all, how did the thief know that Jesus is the king? Was Jesus a king? Jesus was a king or not? Yes or no? You also don't know. Was Jesus a king? Yes or no?
Yes, king of kings.
King of kings. When he died on the cross, was he a king? Now he is king of kings. But when he died on the cross, was he a king? Doubt.
Yes, he was king, but no one is accepted him.
We'll not ask the same question. Are you a king? Now what did Jesus say? Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom will come. It will come in the future. Isn't it? He accepted. Yes, I am a king. But not of this time. That is what the thief is asking. See, you told, no, you are king. You are king of some time. When you come in your kingdom, when you are going to be king of your kingdom, please remember me. Okay, and moreover, upon Jesus, there was a board put INRI. What is the meaning of it? Huh? Jesus, the King of the Jews. The board was there, no? He read the board and clearly understood, this person is claiming to be a king. Okay, sir, you seem to be king. Okay, at least remember when you come in the kingdom. Now, okay. Now, for this question of the thief, what is the right answer? The thief asked, please remember me in your kingdom. Now, what should be the reply of Jesus? Tell me. What did the thief ask? Thief asked, sir, please remember me. Now, what should Jesus say? What should Jesus say to the thief? Tell me. When the thief asked to remember him, Jesus' proper reply would be, okay, I will remember. Correct, no? What did he ask? He asked to remember. What should Jesus have replied? He should have replied, okay, I will remember you when I come in my kingdom. But what was the reply of Jesus? The reply of Jesus was totally different. Jesus, instead of saying, okay, I will remember, he told, today you shall be with me in paradise. Now, how is it possible? Today, that day, he himself did not go. And moreover, you see, Jesus died the same day. But do you think the thief died the same day? He did not die the same day. They were alive on the thief. They were alive on the cross. That is the reason their knees were broken. You see? So they might die soon. They did not die the same day. Then what is the confusion in this verse? What is the exact understanding of this verse? See, dear brethren, this Luke 23:43, there is a punctuation mark. Now, where is the punctuation mark? You observe here. You see? The punctuation mark is before today. I'll read it for you. See, the punctuation mark in the Bible is this way, before today. If somebody reads this one, it is like this. It comes out like this. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Now, what is the meaning of that one? I am saying to you, today only you will be with me in paradise. You see, that's the understanding this verse gives. But just put the punctuation mark after today and read, the meaning is totally different. How does it come? It says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee today. Verily I say unto thee today, shall thou be with me in paradise. That means what? I am saying to you today itself. Today only I am telling you. Today only I am speaking to you. That you shall be with me in paradise. When? Not that you shall be with me today itself in paradise. Because I am only not going to paradise today. I am going to grave. I am going to be dead for 3 days. So how can I make you a false promise? This is what exactly and correctly Jesus told dear brethren. See, one comma, one word here and there makes a lot of difference. Some people might think, no, brother, this is not the reason. Just imagine, what did God say to Adam in the Garden of Eden? Read Genesis 2:17, brother. Genesis 2:17, brother.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Thou shalt surely die. Now, what did God say? You shall surely
die.
Okay. Now, what did Satan say? Read Genesis 3:4, brother.
And the serpent said unto the woman, It shall not surely die.
See, brother, one word. You see, one word changes the entire concept. You shall surely not Shaitan only added that word, not in between. So what happened? What God told totally changed opposite direction. See, so much of power a small punctuation mark is having. I'll give you an example. See, one typist was typing. The judge gave a judgment. Judge gave a judgment saying, kill him, comma, not spare him. But the typist, while he was typing, you know, where did he put the punctuation mark? Instead of putting the punctuation mark before not, he put the punctuation mark after not. Now what happened? The sentence totally changed. The judge actually told, kill him, comma, not spare him. That was kill him, don't spare him. But the typist, he typed, kill him not, comma, spare him. That means what? Don't kill him, spare him, leave him. You see? A matter of life and death. Similarly, here also, this is a punctuation mark. Now, who made this punctuation mark? You see, originally in the Bible, there is no chapter division, there is no verse division, there is no punctuation mark at all in the original Bible. These are all things that were done recently in 1551 AD by Cardinal Caro, who made the verse division. You see, the Cardinal Caro made the chapter division. And Robert Stephenson made the verse division. See, later on only came the punctuation mark. Before that one, there is no punctuation mark, no chapter division, no verse division. You see, nothing was there. Completely literal. A to Z, starting to end, right like this one only go. There is no punctuation mark in the original Bible. These are all, you see, made by the translators, the mistakes made by the translators. Now, okay. Now, why did Jesus promise such a thing? That you shall, but I am saying to you today, that you shall be with me in paradise. Now, what was Jesus trying to say? You see, Jesus was on the cross. There was nobody to comfort him. Just imagine the pathetic condition. Jesus died on the cross. More than 12 hours is not taken, not even food. Not even one comfort words. Not even one soothing words for him. Everybody is scolding, beating him, you see, and is made to carry the heavy cross. You see, he's totally tired. Devudran, he could not even speak also. For 3 hours, he just spoken 7 words. Imagine, will we just keep quiet for 3 hours, just speaking 7 words? We won't be able to stand in the bus for one position. We'll be keeping on changing. Why? But Jesus was nailed to the cross. Imagine such a terrible condition. So much of, you see, insects, maggots would have come and tortured him. You see, full blood over the place. All the blood is clotted. His vision is not clear. He is totally thirsty. The entire system is dried. This was is clearly given in Psalms 22. You see, there was nobody to go speak to him comfortably. Everybody are coming and teasing him. See, he trusted in God. If you trust in God, come down from the cross, we'll believe you. If you are God's son, come down. How painful it would be for Jesus, dear brethren. Everybody scolded. The thief also scolded. But this thief, he said, no, hey, don't speak like this. This person doesn't seem like to be a thief. We are thief. We are suffering for our wrongdoings. But this person doesn't seem to be like that. He seems to be a righteous person. Don't tease him. Don't scold him. Leave him alone. You see, that words itself was a very great comfort for Jesus. Read Psalm 69:20, brother. Read Psalm 69:20.
69:20. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I look for sympathy, but there was no one. For comforters, but I found no one.
I seek for comfort, but I found none. You see, full, my heart is broken, full of heaviness. I ask for pity, none to comfort me. See the feelings of Jesus, dear brethren. Jesus' feelings, he is having these things in his mind. If somebody next to him spoke one word, leave him alone. He is not a culprit like us. That itself was a very soothing thing to Jesus. The thief requested, sir, please remember me in your kingdom, sir. Jesus should have exactly replied, Yes, I will remember you in my kingdom. But here, what they have done is that they use the word paradise. So paradise means everybody thinks, oh, heaven. Paradise means heaven. Huh? Paradise means heaven. Huh? Who told you paradise is heaven? Is it given in the Bible? You show me one verse in the Bible which says that paradise is in heaven, I will agree for all the things, whatever you say. You see? You can't prove it from the Bible at all. You see, the paradise, word paradise, you see, is actually from the Greek word paradios. Paradios means, you know what? It's a park. It's not heaven, you see. But is it given in the Bible? Yes, for the Bible, Bible is a dictionary. I'll show you where is the paradise. Read Revelation 2:7, brother. Revelation 2:7, brother.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcome, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God.
Midst of the paradise of God. In the middle of the paradise of God, what is there, brother? What is there, Peter brother? What is there, Peter brother? Read again. Carefully read again. Observe the verse and read again, brother.
He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome, will I give to eat of the trees of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Now you tell me, what is there in the middle of the paradise of God?
Tree of life.
Very good, brother. Excellent, brother. Super. Tree of life. Now you tell me, where was this tree of life originally in the Bible? Is it given in the Bible?
Yes, I think.
Yes, very good. Where, brother?
Garden.
Very good, brother. Which garden?
Adam and Eve.
Very good. Garden of Eden. Read. Genesis 2:9. Very good, brother. Excellent. See, this is the way we study the Bible. Here a little, there a little. Seek from the Bible, not from Google, not from any vision, dream, prophets. No, Bible is his own dictionary. God is his own interpreter. Everything should be open and seen and shown from the Bible, not from something, you see, outside the Bible. Read, brother, Genesis 2:9.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
See, brother, the tree of life also in the middle of the garden, in the middle of the paradise of God. So everything, both are one and the same. Here, the garden of God and the paradise of God are the same thing. Therefore, if you see that the paradise, the Greek word for paradise used here is paradios. Paradios actually means park, not heaven. Okay? You can search it from Mr. Strong's Concordance Dictionary. It's there available online. You see, that means Edenic condition. What did the thief ask? Remember me in your kingdom. Remember me in your kingdom. When is Jesus' kingdom is going to come on this earth? At his second coming. When he is going to return the second coming, he is going to establish his kingdom on the earth, visibly on the earth. Now, how will that kingdom be? Jesus taught us his prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Not that may we will all come to heaven. No. May thy kingdom come. May thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So God's will, God's kingdom shall be done on earth. When it is done on earth, how will the earth be? It will be same like the Edenic condition. It will be same Eden Park. This is what Jesus replied. This is the exact answer for the question of the thief. Thief asked, Remember me. You see, when you come in your kingdom, Jesus said, okay, today I'm telling you, you shall be with me in my kingdom. That is the exact reply. Here, the translators are beautifully, you see, manipulated the scriptures to Abraham so that we can get a wrong interpretation of the scriptures. But you see, the Bible is his own dictionary. We have the answers, everything from the Bible. You see, any question should be asked from the Bible. Answer should be sought only from the Bible. Okay. Now, why so special favor to the thief? When nobody comforted, thief comforted. Now, what does Jesus say? Do you have such rewards? Yes, we have such rewards. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? If anybody gives one small cup of water to drink, you shall have the reward. Read Matthew 10:42. Matthew 10:42.
And so whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
You see, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water, you see, in the name of a disciple, they shall have the reward. If they give water for disciples only, if they have reward, if somebody speaks comforting words to Jesus, will he not have a reward? Yes, he will have a reward. Not that he will be taken to heaven. You see, heavenly salvation is not so easily. What did Jesus say? If anyone wants to be my disciple, deny yourself, carry the cross, and follow me. Where did the disciple conditions were fulfilled by the thief? No. You see, he shall have the reward means when Jesus is going to come in second coming, he shall get some special favor, that's all. Not that he shall be taken to heaven, Abraham. No, no, not at all. You see, imagine how many houses we visit, how many places they give us something to eat, how many places they give us water to drink in love, out of love, all these things has to be done. They shall have their reward. Dear brethren, this is important. The thief never went to heaven. Okay? So, everybody are in the grave, sleeping nicely, only to be resurrected at Christ's second coming. Okay? Read John 5:28. John 5:28, read with us, please. John 5:28, brother.
John 5:28. Okay. Do not be amazed at this. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice.
See, all that are in the grave hear his voice. You see, the second coming voice, the voice and a shout of an archangel is not heard by the people who are in the graves. When they hear, when he returns, then they will come back. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, brother. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, brother.
Sorry?
1 Thessalonians 4:16.